Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, we hear you well.
Oh, good, thank you. This is a little awkward to be on a cell phone doing this at our home, but hopefully we'll be able to get great coverage. We want to welcome those who are with us this evening. Welcome to our Tuesday night celebration of life. We have some special guests who are with us tonight, some new coaching clients that are joining us. So welcome to all of you. I've asked Ramona to get on the line, if we could be able to get on either with a landline or another cell phone. Want to give her a giant thank you for taking the call last Tuesday night. Did everybody have a great experience with Ramona?
Yes, we did.
Well, it's great to have her here. I was on an airplane coming back from Houston. Had the privilege of spending Monday and Tuesday with Lee Steinberg and Earl Campbell as we're putting together the sports version of the Og Mandino Group, which is going to be called Performance Metrics. High performance is a choice. So we're very excited to take these principles into collegiate athletics and into some professional football as well. We're going to start with the Arena Football League and work into some of the other NFL teams. So very excited to do that. Well, tonight's a special night. We're going to take on the topic of self-esteem. Self-esteem is quality number 6. I am in my studio, Intentional Creation Studio. I would invite you, if you're next to your computer, to be able to go into the studio. This is quality 6. I've opened up the quality 6, and it gives me several little sound bites for this particular quality. It's important that we have the opportunity on a regular basis to go into this studio and use this material. There is about 30 hours of recorded material about the 10 scrolls and about each one of these qualities. And then as we do these Tuesday night calls, they're recorded and posted in your group coaching section. So after a year of being on this group coaching, there's another 52 hours of coaching calls. There's 82 hours of material for you to go back and review on a regular basis. And as you know now, for those of you who have been attending our Tuesday night calls, each time we go through the 6 qualities of an intentional creator, we handle each one just a little differently, depending on what might be happening right now in the world, what might be happening currently with coaching clients that I think might be important for you to know. And sometimes there's some repetition. And frankly, I enjoy going back through the repetition on each one of these qualities because every time we do it reminds me to live these principles with more and more intention. And I know that when I do, it changes our life. And I'm hoping you're having the same experiences. If you look at the quality 1, which would be quality 6 in the studio, the very first thing that we see is your assessment report. I want to emphasize a couple pieces tonight on the studio. You have an assessment on the previous page that has all 6 qualities, all 36 measurements, where you can click and listen to a little bit of audio. In your studio, you can click on your assessment report, and it'll take you to your individual assessment, and there will give you additional information about each one of these measurements. This is a beautiful place to go and spend some time. It walks through the affirmation. It goes through what a balance statement would sound like and what the risks are associated with a specific measurement. You might want to take some time in there to get to know your assessment a little bit better. When we did our assessment debriefs, we use this information that's in your studio as coaches to help us go a little deeper into your individual assessment. So this is a great resource for your assessment report. The next is the affirmations. These are the 6 affirmations, and you'll notice that they are recorded. I recorded them in my voice so you can listen to them. You can also download this. It's an MP3 file. So you can put it on your smartphone. You could actually, this week, while you're working on self-esteem, download that file, and every day, listen to these 6 affirmations over and over again. We've set them to music, so they're very fun to listen to. You can also read them. You can also cut and paste them into a document if you'd like to and carry them around with you. These are very helpful, and every one of these affirmations is very unique in that it's designed in an I am format. And it's not about I am something I can have, like I am wealthy. I can't be wealthy, I can have wealth. But I am not wealthy as a human being, but I can be whole and complete. I can be confident and valiant. These are characteristics that I'm going to want to own as a human being to help heal my self-esteem. So they're I am affirmations. I am whole and complete. I have integrity. I enjoy being me. I recognize and embrace my irreplaceable value. I'm fully available to others. When I wrote the Observer's Chair, I added a little bit to that. I enjoy being me, and I'm comfortable in my own skin. I recognize and embrace my irreplaceable value. I'm fully available to serve others. I'm confident. I'm confident. I embrace my uniqueness. I own my natural genius. And act free of hesitation, doubt, and fear. Download this audio and let it be with you in your smartphone, your iPod, or on your computer, and listen to it. The next piece, we start talking about some of the very principles of self-esteem, where we're going to spend our time this evening. Now, I want to spend a moment on the assessment report itself. This particular area of our assessment reflects the dialogue that we have with ourselves about ourselves. This is the most personal, intimate conversation that occurs in our mind. Now, we're going to spend time in the next few weeks starting with connection with people, and then going into mental creation and physical creation, there's discipline and structure, joy in the journey, and back to self-esteem. Everything we do over the next 6 to 8 weeks is going to be about healing self-esteem. We're going to set the stage tonight and turn us loose to study the scrolls, these affirmations, and begin the process over the next several weeks of healing self-esteem. We know that some of the great causes of self-esteem originate in the bottom right-hand side of your assessment. Mental creation. I'd like to spend a few minutes tonight. If you'll pull up your assessment, if you're looking at your studio, just go back to your assessment, my assessment results. They're in the top left-hand side of the navigation. Go to your assessment results. I want to make some time tonight. If anyone has a question about their individual assessment, to help us understand the implications. Because the number one cause of self-esteem originates in mental creation. Again, in 2 weeks, we'll be on this area. It's when we have red or orange measurements in the area of honorable and goal-oriented and pragmatic, where we have the ability to go into our mind and vividly visualize with great vividness, great power, an event in the future. Now, when we get to mental creation, we'll talk about the power of being able to see something in the future and have it ignite our passion, and then come back and have it drive our focus and our discipline and our effort and our action to actually create it. The risk with an orange or red goal-oriented in particular is that we go into the future and then we go beyond the event. We imagine that we just got that deal sold, or we just created that 100 grand a month, or whatever it is our mind wants us to see. And then we go in the future and we begin to spend it. We begin to live a life, what it would be like when. That's when we go into fantasy. Because whenever we go to a major event, instead of coming back and creating it, we skip to it and then go beyond it. That's fantasy. And the risk is that when we have an orange or red measurement, it's so real to our mind. It creates a new reality. They have that name for it, mental construct. We've constructed a new reality in our mind. So here's this reality. It's so real that the body's starting to react to it. sympathetic nervous system is starting to release norepinephrine. And norepinephrine is such a powerful drug, it makes us feel so euphoric. Oh, it's wonderful. It's one of the things that draws us to this time. It's called counterfeit pleasure, counterfeit joy. It counterfeits what it would be like to really be there. It's pretty darn close, except for you don't have the car in your garage. It's just in your mind or the house. You're not sitting in it or sleeping in it. It's just in your mind. But it's so real that the body's reacting to it and releasing that norepinephrine, and we're feeling euphoric. Now, the next day we wake up, and this part of our mind is uncompromising. We've created an expectation, which means concrete condition for happiness. There's no, well, what's happening is 50% of that. Anything less than 100% of where we went in our mind, less than 100% of that creates an awful reaction in our body. It's called an autonomic reaction, something we can't control. And our body starts preparing to fight the enemy that is attacking and attempting to destroy this new reality. Well, what is trying to destroy it? The flat tire we got, or we're overdrawn on our bank account, or we got a screaming child, or get into an argument with a spouse or a committed companion, whatever it might be. Anything that's less than 100% of that vision causes the body to go into this defensive mechanism, reaction. Body releases cortisol. Get that lightning bolt in our gut. Just nod your head. You felt that kind of an anxious feeling. And we know that inside your brain, all of the energy-rich parts are being shut down. And everything's being, all the energy is being centralized in a little place at the top of your brainstem called the amygdala, your fight or flight center. And we are rendered emotionally paralyzed. Our practical judgment, our empathy shut down. Our memory center, our hippocampus has been shut down. Everything's ready to flee or fight. That's why we feel so anxious and sometimes tearful and sometimes angry. Get that lightning bolt, that anxious feeling in our gut, and we just feel discouraged or overwhelmed. And it's in that moment that we turn inward and we say, what's wrong with me? Why can't I have that? I'm pointing up at that fantasy right now. It's where I'm pointing up there. It's right above this window in my office. That's where it always resides, up there. Why can't I have that? I can almost touch it. I can almost taste it. Why can't I have it? What's wrong with me? Does God not love me? And we just experience the seeds for the number one cause of self-esteem challenges. Unmet, unrealistic expectations. We will, in the very first measurement, whole and complete, we may question our worth and our worthiness. That's what whole and complete means. I'm whole. Real, genuine, authentic. I'm whole. Now, this measurement, so you know, does not have any requirement for action. It's not about doing at all. The question is, can you see your pricelessness? If you look over at empathy, you most likely can see it in others. But can you see it in yourself? And the sequence I just described causes us to question our worth and worthiness, because when our fantasies, we call them dreams, but when we've skipped to the future and moved beyond, our fantasies aren't coming true, we have a tendency to look over our shoulder, and I always look over my left shoulder. I can almost feel myself do this. So this is one of This is one of my issues, just so you know. I go over my shoulder. I look back there and go, wow, maybe that was because of what happened to me when I was a kid, or maybe that's what happened to me when I was a teenager, or what I did. Or that's because I did this or did that, or I failed at this or didn't do enough of that. I want you this week, if anything I've said to you so far about unrealistic expectations, we're not going to solve that problem tonight. When we get to mental creation, we're going to talk about using our mind constructively to ignite passion that drives action instead of using it to fantasize and create this nasty response. But when you feel that cortisol surge, become extremely conscious in that moment where your mind goes in terms of you. And see if you catch yourself looking back over the past and questioning your worth or worthiness and labeling it, that's the reason why. Because I'm broken. Because I didn't do. Because our worth has nothing to do with doing. We are priceless. We're child of God. Priceless. Next measurement's confident. Now we're going to start getting into what we do. This is all the tangible things in our life. Our appearance, our height, our weight, our physical condition, the length of our hair or lack of hair, our education, our charisma, our skill sets, our money, our careers, all these things in the tangible world. And we start to question. We can start to question our ability. I don't have that because I don't have the capacity. Now, it's not about worth or worthiness. Now, it's about I didn't do this or I didn't do that or I don't have this or I'm not smart enough. We start beating ourselves up this way. Now, we'll get to another cause of self-esteem in a moment that affects this called the comparison game. Valiant, the third measurement, we can start to question our beliefs. You know, I feel like I'm selling a dream and living a nightmare if you're in a home-based business. Or, gosh, I've always believed that if I did this and this, this would happen, and it's not, so maybe I'm just wrong. Foundationally, my belief system is flawed. Or I always believe God that would fill in the blanks or deliver me or provide or whatever it might be. So I'm starting to doubt. And Valiant takes us into very deep and personal belief systems. We start to question those. So unmet, unrealistic expectations, the number one cause of self-esteem challenges. Again, tonight we're not going to solve how to use our mind constructively. We'll get to that mental creation. Just become conscious when you feel that lightning bolt of anxiety because you've been fantasizing. Just in that moment, what I always do, and I'm highly susceptible to go into the future. It's hard for me not to. I see so clearly the possibilities. And every once in a while, you just want to flirt with them a little bit. You just want to, yeah, what could that be like? When? I can tell you last week, sitting there with Lee Steinberg and Earl Campbell in this room full of the investors that are funding this project, and he has a jet, and he has a jet, and, you know, it's really tempting. Say, okay, we have a million kids on the program, and da-da-da-da, and da-da-da-da-da, you know, Nike's endorsed it. Yeah, it's really easy to go there. I want you to know it is easy to go there, but I also know that when I get that lightning bolt feeling, that anxious feeling, the very first thing I do now is I go back and I replay where I've been the last 24 hours in my mind. Where have I been? Was I tempted to go and fantasize about the future? Was I? Did I succumb to the temptation? I go, yeah, it was last night. I was going to bed and I was tired and I really didn't feel like thinking about anything else, but I couldn't shut my mind off. And so, yeah, I did. And you said, by a moment, that's all that's happening, Dave. That's all that's happening right now. The world is not coming to an end. The world is not crashing. It's just you're having a physical reaction to that mental exercise last night. That's all you're doing. Okay. And I have to be really careful right now not to look over my shoulder and start questioning my worth and my worthiness or questioning my ability or my beliefs or anything else that I could do. And you'll want to do the same thing. So just go back 24 hours and say, where have I been? What was I thinking about when I was driving home this afternoon? Or what was I thinking when I was going to the office this morning? What was I thinking when I was lying in bed last night? Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's all this is. That's all this is. Any questions about this cause of self-esteem challenges before I move to the second one? Let me just check in with you, make sure that you can hear me okay. I want to come off of mute, Matt, just so I can hear you.
Hi, it's Beverly.
Hello. Hi, Beverly. Thank you. Hi, Beverly.
Hi.
Okay. Hi.
What
good
I
to hear your voice.
Just one comment. I don't know why I didn't hear it before, but you know, that's why we have these sessions. Things kind of go woo. You said going into the future, and I mean I really get that, but it was the one you said, and beyond, that's where it, and I went, oh, I kind of never saw that perspective of it before, so thank you for that little bit tonight. Big bit.
Oh, you're so welcome. There is a great story in the book. It's in the area of mental rehearsal. Peter Vidmar's story. And I got to hear Peter actually tell this story, which was fun. And he talks about the fact that from age 11 to age 23, it's on page 168 of Today I Begin a New Life, that for 13 years, they practiced for the Olympics. 5 to 6 hours a day, 6 days a week. Took off Sunday because that was his Sabbath. And he only remembers taking off 30 other days during that 12-year period. It's just mind-boggling, the amount of work that was done. And in every one of those workouts, they would get to the last exercise, the parallel bars, and Peter would turn to Tim Dagg and say, why are we here? Tim knew, and Tim would say, why are we here? And then they would turn in their minds, they would turn the practice arena into the Olympic venue, and they would do the last exercise. He said that the blisters on our hands had popped by now, our muscles were aching, and we still had one more floor exercise to do, the parallel bars, which is a very strenuous exercise. And they would take turns being the judge and being the one doing the exercise. Do the exercise, dismount, and then the other one thousands of times.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know what, David? We visualized that, and this was the visualization. It's the last exercise of the four, this last four exercise, and if we both perform perfectly, we'll beat the Republic of China for the first time since 1904.
Hmm.
He said, that's as far as we ever allowed our visualization to go. We would perform perfectly, and we knew we won the gold medal. And that's it. For 12 years. I'm thinking,
wow.
I joked about it, but I thought in that moment, they never went to the Wheaties box, the limousines, the Learjets, the speaking engagements, the flag being raised, the flowers in their hands, the ribbons being put around it? No, they never went beyond the actual exercise of getting to and winning the gold medal. Everything they did in their mind was leading up to that, because they knew this. Nothing mattered if they lost. Nothing. And how many of us go into the future to a time, I know, Beverly, in your business, when you've reached a certain pin level, and then we, you know, and we're making, let's say, $20,000 a month, and then we start to imagine what it will be like to have $20,000 a month, and we start spending it. Boom, we're in fantasy. We're focusing on the wrong thing. We want to focus on, we're here. We want to get there. Because if we don't get there, nothing else matters. If we don't get there, we won't have that money to spend. It doesn't matter till we get there. Now, as soon as we get there, we just raise our goal to the next level, and the next level, the next level. But we want to stay focused between here and there. And we often, when we fantasize, we just want this to be manifest. But this is the journey. This is the joy. This is the creation. This is the stretching and the growing and the becoming. Between here and there. Yeah, so for all of us, thanks, Beverly, for letting us go deeper into that tonight.
Mm-hmm.
This, when we go to that event and live beyond it, we are setting ourselves up for a real nick to our self-esteem within 24 hours. And many of us do this frequently. So we just keep hammering ourselves. Once we go there, we do not get to decide the impact. Because just as soon as reality shows up differently, kabam. And it happens to everyone every time. Everyone every time. And then we hate our life, and then we beat ourselves up. We question our worth and our worthiness and our ability and our beliefs. I mean, it's just like clockwork. This is an epidemic of major proportion, pandemics, across all boundaries. Now, so thank you, Beverly, for anybody who engages in this. And again, I just told you just last week, I've had to watch myself. Because what happens, I know that since last Tuesday, I've been on phone calls till midnight last night, and in between every coaching session today, as we're putting in the final details of this business. And if I was fantasizing, I'd be missing all of these pieces. And that's why deals fall apart. That's why businesses fail. Because we're not paying attention to the here and now. We're often in the future, living beyond in our mind. And the very things that need to be created to make that possible never happen. Or we miss them. And it blows up. Yeah. So
Dave?
Important. Yes.
This is Ronnie in Louisiana.
I remember Ronnie in Louisiana?
Yes. I remember when the stock market was really good and we were getting good returns on some of the stock that we had bought. And we had lots of stock out there, and the stock ran from 30 cents up to $17. I never forget what my father-in-law told me. Don't take your working boots off. But needless to say, I caught myself 2 and 3 times, maybe 4 times during the day, checking the market. Because I was spending that money before I ever got it. And I'll never forget him saying, don't take your working boots off. Don't take the boots off what really created where you are. So that was a great
That's
teacher
a beautiful
to me.
Comment.
I can understand what you're saying here.
Yeah. Don't take your boots off. We say don't stop washing the windows and taking out the trash. Yeah, don't stop
That's
working.
Right.
Until you sell the stock and put the money in your bank account, right?
Yes, exactly right. But it was coming through, and it was coming well, but the market ran up, and then it ran down, and we left 45,000 shares on the table. So you can know I was just dreaming of retirement. And when it came down, it was sad. It was sad.
Well, Ronnie, I'll take this a step further since this is such an important part of self-esteem. In 2008, we all know that we had a real estate collapse, right? And mm-hmm. stock market got hit hard as well. Yeah, it was a terrible time for the nation. I truly believe in my heart of hearts that one of the major causes of that collapse was a nation engaged in this very process.
Yes, yes.
Going into the future and then living beyond. We were trying to finance our way into abundance. And the whole thing was working. And when it collapsed, we had a nation full of dreamers who are now living in that autonomic response that was chronic. Ugh. They no longer fantasize. They now use that vivid visualization to catastrophize. And there may be some on the phone tonight, so I want to be sensitive about this, but I want you to consider that as a possibility. Dave, I don't go in the future and dream like that. You know, things are just frustrating. Well, yeah, because this gift doesn't go away. It just gets reused. We're either using it for fantasy or catastrophe, or we're using it for the five constructive ways of thinking. Again, we'll deal with that in 2 weeks. But if we're in catastrophe, we're in a dark dungeon of despair and discouragement, and we will be beating ourselves up. Just know it's this vivid visualization now applied to a very negative scenario. When you have goal-oriented or across the table from it, analytical, red or orange, you are at a high risk. What I say, you can go to the heights of heaven and the depths of hell in 10 minutes with that kind of visualization capacity. So be careful with this one. Thank you, Beverly, and Ronnie, for your comments tonight. Now, let's talk about the second cause. The second cause is as deadly, and it's extremely common for all the population. Not everybody has vivid visualization and fantasizes, but almost everyone plays the comparison game. Almost everyone takes the clay they've been given, and we don't want our clay. We know all the warts, if you will, and pimples that are in this clay. We don't want this. We want her clay. We want his clay. We don't want our clay. And so we're constantly spending time comparing what we have against what other people have, and we're falling short. Or, to make ourselves feel a little better, we'll compare our clay with someone who actually has less clay. So we can say, well, at least I'm not that bad off. At least I'm not that whatever. At least I'm not that. So either way is deadly, this comparison game. When we come back to Joy in the Journey next time around, we're going to talk about taking this clay and creating the most we can with it. Owning it. This is us. This is who we are. This is our clay. And then creating the most we can with this clay. So the comparison game is the next one. Anybody want to guess who has the most challenge with this particular self-esteem issue? Male or female? Anybody want to guess?
I think female.
Ladies, what do you think?
That's my opinion.
Ladies, what do you think, ladies?
And I'm not a male chauvinist when it comes to that. That's my opinion.
Oh, got it. Let's see if we can get some of the women to respond. What do you think, ladies?
It's Beverly again. I never really thought about men comparing themselves, but. But then when you think of sports and everything, maybe different, you know, they do it in different facets of their life. Yeah, I'd be interested to hear what others have to say.
We probably do in terms of athletic prowess. studies tell us that 85% of women engage in this challenge. And the way it's described is we take the very best from 10 women, the very best from each one of them, and put it into a composite woman that doesn't even exist. And then we beat ourselves for not stacking up to that composite woman. There's a Cosmopolitan magazine, we could say that composite, where someone's airbrushed, they're photoshopped, and we look at that and we beat ourselves up for not having that body type, that hair. I think it's so amazing when a woman just loves herself for who she is, and you just see this light come on. It's just beautiful to see this light come on and to honor their natural goodness and beauty. So women on the phone, I would encourage you to check on this particular one to see if you find yourself comparing. And the analysis, it's generally weight and height and body style and shape and clothing and shoes and whether they have to support themselves or I have to support myself, all those kinds of issues. Just see if you can catch yourself in that comparison game, because every time you do, just know that you're looking at your clay and saying it's not enough. It's not enough. And we know,
Dave,
that, yes?
The reason I have some feelings about this is that I talk to the coaches here at our university, those who coach the softball, women's softball, and coach the baseball, the men, and every time the coach for the women says their job is so much harder than coaching men. The men will tell you the same thing, that it's a lot easier to coach men than to coach women because of the drama of comparison, and it can lead right onto the field in everything that they do. It's amazing. It's just amazing what happens there.
Thank you. So if we want to heal self-esteem, and this is a thing we engage in, we want to take our clay, and this is what we've been given, and trusting that we've been given this clay because it's uniquely designed for us. We have been prepared for it, and we honor the gift of this clay. We take it, and we're supposed to want more clay. We're supposed to. Now we take it, and we start creating the most we can with it. Maybe there involves an exercise program. Maybe that involves going shopping and getting new clothes. It could involve a lot of things. We take this clay, and we create the most we can with it, because that's where the joy is. Because when we're focused on our clay, creating the most we can with our clay, we are spending our time with our true self. It's our true self. If we're in comparison, we are destroying our true self. This is who we are. So this is our clay, physically speaking. Or as the measurement confident goes, this is our talents, our skills, our appearance, our money, our relationships. This is our life. Now we can take this and create the most we can with it. And if we stay focused here, Now for guys, I know where it happened. We had this experience with one of the gentlemen in the room last Monday. He was talking to me after and says, I feel out of place. And I said, why? He says, I don't have a jet. I said, I got one. It's called Delta Airlines. We can get caught up in the money piece and miss being our true self. And the joy comes in spending time with us. Now, we're going to be in service with other people. It's not we spend our time with us, but we are connected to our true self and out there in the world as our true self, not a facade, while internally we're feeling less than. That's a really dangerous place to be. If you can pause just for a moment, look at your assessment. at confident, go straight to the left and see if your confident is orange or red. Go straight to the left to see if respectful is orange. If it is,
wow.
you'll see how this plays out in the world. The risk is this. If I'm beating myself up and feeling less than, chances are when I step out into the world and I see someone else, I'm going to see their outward appearance and I'm going to compare my inward feelings, how I feel about me, against how they look. Imagine the chasm that creates, the valley between those two. Oh my goodness. How they look, not how they really feel about themselves or what's really going on in their lives, how they look against how I feel about myself. This is one of the great destroyers of connection with other people.
Dave?
Now, if we focus on art, yes.
I'm in self-esteem, I'm green and confident, but when you look over to the left, the connection, I'm orange. I mean, respectful, I'm orange. But everything in connection is blue and green. What's going on there?
It's a great question. And I did a very direct relationship between beating myself up and being over-focused on outward appearances. That creates a real discomfort around people that appear to be successful. Now, in your situation, without knowing the rest of your assessment, the left-hand side is pretty clear. The great risk is we're still focused on outward appearance. But now, instead of being intimidated by, we create expectations about how they'll perform based on how they look. We're not intimidated by them anymore. Now, because we're okay with ourselves, we're okay with them, but now I'm going to create an expectation about how they'll perform, and when they don't, I get disappointed.
I can feel that.
You can feel that? Yeah. Well, it looked like they could do it. They said they were, because I know you. You're who you are. You're always the same guy, wherever you are. And so many people are holding up a facade with all of their energy, dragging around their big sack behind them of all the stuff that's going on. And if you buy into the facade, you're going to be sorely disappointed because very few things are as they appear in today's world. Very few things are as they appear. Okay. Any questions about comparison before we move on to our third cause of self-esteem challenges? We doing okay tonight? Anybody got a question or a concern or anything that's on your heart? You know, I say this to you every time we meet, that, and how often have you said, gosh, to yourself, I don't know that I want to share because, you know, I don't want to be selfish and take time. The truth of the matter is we are so similar in so many ways, all of us. The questions you ask are quite often the very questions another person on this call is asking and has been hesitant to ask, and you just serve them. Well, we serve you. Together, we serve another person or another person or another person on the phone. So if there's anything that's causing a question for you tonight, we're going through self-esteem. Dave, for me, it's this. Or could you answer this? I'll do my very best to address it. So just jump off of mute and call out my name. Interrupt me in the middle of the session because this isn't about me teaching you. It's me here serving you. So let me serve you.
Dave, I have to say again, I know you're familiar with the movie Johnny Lingo. Are you familiar with that movie?
I am.
That little.
Yeah.
You don't have to elaborate.
I am, but very few people on the call would be.
You just take that back and think about how what we're talking about, that little movie applies here.
Now, for those of you on the line that don't know about it, it's a self-esteem movie of a man who is going to marry a woman on a Samoan island, and he has to bring a dowry for the family, for the woman, and He brings 8 cows, which is like the biggest dowry ever paid for any woman. And he thinks she's an 8-cow wife. And part of it is that he wants her to feel like an 8-cow wife. He doesn't want her to feel like he came and paid the least amount he had to get her. He paid the absolute maximum because he wants her to feel like the absolute maximum.
But,
it's a
but
great
the
story
thing
for
about,
all of us because it's them.
Yeah. Dave, the interesting thing about it, the women were talking before Johnny Lingo came with the cows. And they were comparing theirself one another. One says, I'm a 2-cow woman. One says, I'm a 4-cow woman. And they said, oh, surely Johnny Lingo will not pay 8 cows for her. And wow. And so I've seen that movie several times, and there's a lot that we can learn from that movie.
So the message for all of us guys who have special women in our lives to make sure that we treat our wives as though they are the queens they deserve to be, that they feel that valued by us. And we can have a big impact on how someone feels. Thank you. Let's go to
the
third reason.
Dave, I like the quote, we don't see things as they are, we see things as we are.
Well said. Well said. Well, let's go to our third cause of self-esteem challenges. This is an interesting one, and it's one we'll address briefly tonight, but it quite often requires therapeutic intervention. It's when we've experienced traumatic events, and interestingly, it's number 3. We normally think, well, somebody's got a self-esteem image because they were molested as a child, for an example. It's actually the 3rd most common. The most is, again, unmet expectations, next comparison game. Now we're working our way down to traumatic events. This is when we've been in an abusive relationship, for an example, for a number of years, and we carry the taint, the sting from that relationship. It could be an abusive situation when we were a child. It could be a tremendous physical challenge that has occurred, something that causes us to question our worth and our worthiness or our ability or our beliefs. So if anybody has been through one of those, here's how you can tell whether you need therapeutic intervention. Next week, we're going to talk about connection with people. Part of the discussion is the Chicago Dream, where we take that which is in our sack and we empty it, we pick it up, we examine it, we ask, is anyone else suffering from a similar wound, and we engrave it on our heart. If we find it difficult to look at our sack, difficult to empty our sack, difficult to pick up the most painful event in our life, which is not uncommon. I've coached with someone who could not look, and so we needed to help them get some therapeutic intervention to help process through that, to get through that painful time. Because if we can't, we need some professional assistance, and I'm a coach. A coach's responsibility is to help you move forward when you're ready to move forward. If you can say, yeah, that happened to me. Now, I want to engrave that on my heart, and I'm ready to move forward. I'm ready to let it go. I'm ready to stop being the victim. I'm ready to stop wallowing in that misery, so to speak. If I've reached that point, I'm ready to be coached. So we'll find out next week. If you run into a situation like that where you're not ready, don't be ashamed. If some situations that happen in our lives can be very painful and need some kind of therapeutic intervention, a professional who can help you process through it. But it can be an absolute cause of self-esteem challenges. I've been very public about what happened to me as a child between 3 and 5. That's a very painful process to work through. Fortunately, being a coach for so many years, I was able to kind of work my way through that to the point that I had the Chicago Dream, learned how to carry it in my heart. That was very, very helpful. Many do not have that kind of constant exposure and need assistance from someone. So next week you'll know if that's the case. but just become conscious of some of those experiences in your life. And the last is called secrets. Secrets are things that we do in our private life that we would be embarrassed for someone else to know about. The most common would be like alcohol or drug addiction. Another would be an eating disorder. Another could be a pornography addiction. Something that if it were broadcast out there in the world, we would be ashamed to have the world know about it. One of the goals of going through this process that we're going through with the six qualities of an intentional creator is for us to be congruent in all areas of our life, that there's not a difference between our public, our private, and our secret self. We're all the same person. We don't have secrets. We don't act a certain way behind closed doors with our family and then act a certain way when we're out here in the world. Now, we're obviously on our best behavior when we're out here. Even I am. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we could find a way to bring those two together so they're the same person? Because when they're not, when there is that deep secret, there's a lot of confusion between who am I? Am I this despicable person? I mean, I'm not suggesting anyone is. It's just how we can feel. This despicable person who can't control alcohol consumption, an alcoholic. Or this person who has this public persona that everything's wonderful in his life. Which one am I? The truth is we're actually closer to the person, to the public persona. But we don't know. We're confused. And the truth is we're the observer. We're the one observing these two options. And when we can step back here and become the observer of the behavior and the attempt to hide it, we've reached a beautiful point in our recovery. If we have alcohol addictions, drug addictions, eating disorders, and some sexual addictions, it's really important that we get help. There's AA, there's Cocaine Anonymous, there's all kinds of sex addict organizations in almost every city in this nation. We are such a blessed nation to have so many services to be able to go to. Just seek out. And the easiest to find is your local AA. And from there, they can guide you to all of the other organizations that are around town to be able to get some assistance. But you're going to want to do that as quickly as possible. If you have someone who's in that kind of a challenge, then you've got your Al-Anon groups, where you've got spouses or children of alcoholics that can go and talk and share and process through some of those challenges. So there's lots of places to get help for those two causes of self-esteem, both traumatic events and secrets. But that's what creates the challenge. And two of these we have absolute control over: our expectations, where we get into using our mind constructively and igniting passion that drives focus and discipline, effort and action. Comparison, we choose our own clay. Those we have absolute control over. We have some control over secrets, although addictions are really difficult and often need assistance. Traumatic events, if we're ready to move forward, we can coach through them. If not, then we'll do some therapeutic intervention. But that is the challenge, our goal. What's our objective? What do we want to accomplish in the next several weeks as we go through each one of these pieces? And it really boils down to this simple statement. This is Robert S. Hartman, who did the mathematics for assessment. He said, the objective is to be, let's write that on a piece of paper, be real, genuine, and authentic, without the need to impress, pretend, feel shame, or fear. He said this is the most difficult task in our mortal existence and the highest level of maturity. Have you ever equated being real and genuine, authentic, with being mature? The word real at its root means relationships, or it's the root of relationships. To be able to step into another person's world, listen, take down walls of resistance, connection, We start doing that next week. Genuine, to own our own genius. Somebody says, well, is that being egotistical? And the answer is absolutely not. We want to be totally free to bring all of our gifts to the service of other people. We don't want to put a blanket of shame, like a pillow sham. That's the root word of shame. A pillow sham. We don't want to cover with a wet blanket. We want to totally free it up so that it can be used to serve. That's being genuine. Authentic. Enthos hectic. It means being your true self. Acting on your own moral authority. Doing the next right thing for the right reason because you want to get to and choose to. Now, often when I say that, some people say, well, Dave, I'm a Christian. And I say, well, I am too. Well, but don't I defer to God's authority? The application of acting on my own moral authority means I'm choosing to do what I do because I want to. If you're a God-fearing person that's saying, I'm going to go to church this Sunday, not because I'm afraid of what my neighbors will think if I don't go, or a spouse or children. I'm going to go because I want to be there. I want to worship the Lord. I want to be there. That's acting on your own moral authority, doing the next right thing for the right reason. I'm not suggesting everybody has to have that belief system to act on their own moral authority, doing the next right thing. This is how we treat a neighbor. This is how we treat a business associate. This is how we treat clients and friends. And we're doing the next right thing for the right reason. We're being our true self, real, genuine, and authentic. That is our objective. Now, as we start going into these measurements, we start going into qualities, connection. We'll learn to connect. In mental rehearsal, we'll learn how to have our mind focused on serving others and asking, what can I create? How can I create that? We'll be engaging and embracing and connecting and serving and creating value and contributing to the world. We're going to be playing in a very sacred place where inspired ideas can come into our mind, ignite our passion, drive our actions, and we create things we didn't have before. And when they're created, the real thing is created. We get to experience real joy. And that real joy heals our self-esteem because we know and are known. We trust and are trusted. We are now creating the way we were actually created. We're created to get inspired ideas. We're not created to fantasize. That's a violation of creation. That's why we get punished so much when we go there. When we use our mind constructively, we get the inspired idea. This is a beautiful thing. We start to heal our self-esteem. Then we start being present in the now. Instead of procrastinating, we bring all of our gifts. We're genuine. We act fully present in the now in those power sessions. And we create miracles. We're surprised. Oh, my goodness. We spend time with our true self. We discover the people put on our path who can serve us and who we can serve. And we go down to discipline and structure, and we start letting go of resistance. And we realize that there is structure in the universe. There are rules and policies and procedures. And we've been fighting and kicking against many of them. And when we surrender to them, we find real peace and real freedom. We go to joy in the journey, and we realize that things happen. Things just happen. It's not because we're a bad person that they happen. They just happen. What we'll want to decide is how we're going to show up in the moment. We show up in spite of the firestorms. We learn from them. We inspire others to take on theirs. They are going to happen to all. All. What matters is how we too choose to show up in them. And next time we come back to self-esteem, let's just see how we're doing at that point. And we'll circle back. Beverly said tonight, I love that, Beverly. So I've never heard that, and going beyond. Because every time we go through this, if you're really present, you're going to hear and feel something new that you can take and use in your life to drive these principles deeper into your life. Because when you've mastered these six qualities of an intentional creator, and by mastery I mean you are consciously aware that you're doing it, in time it will become easier and easier, but you're consciously doing it, you will be experiencing miracles in your life. It's just how it works. That's my promise to everyone tonight. Now this week, go to scroll 6 in your studio. Every one of these audio pieces, affirmations, the low self-esteem, real, genuine, authentic, the four tethers of impress, pretend, feel ashamed and fear, there's a whole section on those, and it's downloadable to your iPhone, your smartphone. Download it and spend some time this week listening to these pieces. They're like 15-minute segments. You can listen to one each day. And the scroll you're going to study is scroll number 4, I am nature's greatest miracle. I love this line. It's one of my favorites in the scrolls. I am here for a purpose. And that purpose is to grow into a mountain, not to shrink into a grain of sand. Henceforth, I'll apply all of my efforts to become the highest mountain of all, and I'll strain my potential until it cries for mercy. We are to take our clay and create the most we can with it. We want to have expectations that ignite passion so that we can do so even more effectively. Boy, this hour flew by tonight. Any final comments or thoughts before we take off to do our homework this week? Well, thank you all for being here. Let's make this the best week of our life. Let's just make that decision tonight. Some of us really could use a miracle. And this is an opportunity for us to be in this space where miracles occur. So let us exercise this by doing the scroll 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night. I'm nature's greatest miracle. There's a flame that burns inside me, passed down for generations on counts, a constant irritation of my spirit to be better than I am and I will be. This is an inspiring scroll to lift us on a daily basis. Listen to your affirmations. Listen to these audio sections and come prepared next week to start the journey of healing your self-esteem with connection with people. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back with you next Tuesday night. Good night, everyone. Just come off the meeting.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks.
Good night, everyone. Good night. Thanks, everyone.